Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
All right, guys, this is a repeat podcast. This is from when we had a chance to talk to Ted Nugent himself and his wife, Shemaine, and it's a really cool episode, so I wanted to repeat it and replay it so you guys had a chance to listen to it. Here it is.
Got a whole gang of bow hunters here.
Gang around
the Uncle Ted camp firing. Yeah. Cook them backstraps like you mean it, damn it.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Whatever you say, that's what we're doing.
And all I want out of you guys in unison, you ready?
Yep.
Here's what I want out of you in unison for providing the Queen of the Forest on your telephone. All I want out of you is thank you, Uncle Ted.
Thank you, Uncle Ted.
All right, now that we got that straight. How the hell are you boys doing? You guys got the mystical flight of the arrow, aim small, miss small celebration going on?
All day long.
All Michigan, baby. You know it. We're waiting for you. Freedom Hill. Hallelujah. We know you're coming.
Don't be waiting for me, brother, because I ain't waiting for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, Ted, hey, what's it like to have met and known Fred Bear? That's an amazing, amazing thing.
Wow. I could keep you burning redwood forest, a campfire wood, just celebrating that incredible blessing and humbling experience. I was born in 1948. My dad was already a follower of Fred's. You know, my dad had a long bow, and this was pre-recurve, you know. It was right after Howard Hill and Pope and Young and Fred Bear witnessed their newsreel bow hunting the hard way, and it was just an explosive time of returning to this, what you and I are so turned on by, the mystical flight of the arrow and getting close to game, that Fred really perfected the promotional believability of abandoning the Weatherby long range technology, which is a wonderful discipline unto itself. Yeah. Sniper marksmanship is a wonderful thing, and I will always celebrate long-range crosshairs, but my dad, like so many, were beginning to be turned on by this return to this spirit of the wild, if I dare, and so we would go north every October for the opener, October 1st in Michigan. By the time I was, I was on my dad's back in December of October of 1949. I was only 10 months old. So I consider that my first deer season, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I've never missed a season. We'd stop at this little shack. It was a little shack, like a stone garage, a cinder block garage in Grayling, with this hand-carved Bear archery sign over the door. Yep. And I didn't know what was going on. I probably first entered Bear's little shop there when I was 5 or 6 years old. And I didn't know who he was, but I was already addicted to bows and arrows. I had a little bow and arrow, and I'd shoot river rats and chipmunks and anything that crossed my path. I had a grand slam of songbirds by the time I was 7.
I did that with my baby.
And so when I finally got to be 8 or 9 years old on our annual trips, and we'd stop at Grayley, and Fred was often there, and he was, you know, inventing the laminating process. He had that crude lathe there where he was laminating the wood and the oozing glass between the wood slats. And I was now starting to realize this is Fred Bear. This is the Chuck Berry of bow hunting. And we would have cherry pie and chocolate milk at the Grayling restaurant. And every year I couldn't wait to get up there because now he's on the cover of True Magazine. And he's on TV shooting polar bears and grizzly bears, and I'm still after the chipmunk slam. So I'm fascinated by this guy, and he was such a kind man, such a gentleman, a real easygoing guy. And I just looked up to him, and he was real friendly. And my dad eventually represented a Swedish steel company, and then sold the blue tempered rolled spring steel to Fred for the manufacturer of his bleeder blades for the Bear razor head. So now it was not just a friendly bow hunting visit, but now it was a business visit, and my dad would go hunting up there in Harrison and in Grayling and Gaylord every year with the Bear team. And now it's a big shack. It's still just a small business. But by the time I graduated from high school, I moved to Chicago with my family. My dad was transferred, and so in 67 I came back. I was there for 2 years, and as soon as I came back, I had the Amboy Dukes, and I was starting to have long hair, and of course Fred was scared to death of rock and roll. He didn't know whether to shit or go blind when I came back, because I looked like a hippie, and he was afraid I might have turned into a hippie, but of course I was not. I was the ultimate redneck, drug czar of, I busted more hippies than all the narcs in America. I was hardcore red backstrap gut pile guy.
Yeah.
And when Fred, was concerned about this scary rock and roll, and then people would tell him, and Fred told me this. He said, no, they came to me and said, no, Fred, everything Ted does, every time he does an interview, which I do thousands a year, he always promotes archery and the discipline, and he always talks about conservation, and he's always on the side of law and order instead of the hippies that call cops pigs. And so Fred thought, and we had a lot of talks about how I was completely opposite of the rest of the world of rock and roll. It was because of the bow and arrow discipline. It really was.
Yeah.
And we got to be close friends, and we'd go to sporting events, Anderson Clinic together, and different sporting events. And I was just in awe that I get to hang out and bullshit. And then he invited me to Grouse Haven. We'd hunt every year. I mean, and you wonder why I'm like this? Why I'm like this. I've literally been to the mountaintop of life. If your life is bow hunting like it is for us, there's just nowhere else to go. That was it. I hunted with Fred Bear. He's my buddy.
Yeah.
We called, and he'd call me, and we'd write letters, and that's the dream. So I take that to heart, which is why when he died in April of 88, I had hunted with him in his last hunt at Grouse Haven in October of 87, and he literally put his hand on my shoulder walking those beautiful trails at Grouse Haven, and he said, I've heard the attacks on you. I hear these idiots in our industry that hate you because of the rock and roll. They don't know you. He looked me in the eyes and he said, you keep promoting bow hunting with that energy that you have. He told me that every bow hunting event he went to, all the young people ever wanted to know was if he knew Ted Nugent. Think of that insanity. So he said, boy, you're really turning a lot of young people, rock and roll fans, you're turning them on to the hunting lifestyle. So that's why my critics and the haters, they roll off of me like personal hygiene off of Michael Moore's back. Every time somebody says something stupid about me, I just get bigger and badder and louder and prouder, because Fred Bear told me that he liked the way I did it, so everybody else can kiss my ass.
Absolutely.
Well, if you're ever in this area, they just opened a new Cabela's, and they have a beautiful statue right in the front of Fred Bear with a quote. It's gorgeous. You really need to check it out if you're ever down here.
Yowzy, I heard about that. Yeah, so you guys are down there north of Detroit or what?
Yep.
Sterling Heights. Yeah. Where your wife grew up, I guess.
Man. I know it well. Well, hell, I was born and raised in Redford over there.
Oh, okay.
Detroit City Limits. Yep. And we're playing Freedom Hill, which is right down the street from you.
We can walk there. We're going to be there. We're going to make it work.
We're going to figure it out.
Parachuting in. How about this, guys? How about we're talking about Fred and what he meant to me, and I know that's what he must mean to you guys.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
How about the alignment of the planets in that song? I mean, can you imagine going bow hunting without that song in your head?
No. Oh, gosh. Every opening day.
That's the theme song, yeah, for opening day. See, since anybody can remember.
The thing about it, Ted, and one of the, I didn't know I was
going to be... My kids love it, too.
Well, I didn't know I was going to be talking to you tonight, but like one of the things I was going to say to you, and that's really important to me, is that song, and it's crazy to me, but since I was a kid, since I'm 36 years old, so since I was a kid... That song was a song we played every opening day. We would get excited and get pumped up to go out. But that changed a whole generation of hunters. So I think my point is to you is that, number one, thank you that you created us. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, without that song, I don't know I would have had that drive that helped my family get into hunting as much. My brother was into it. Everybody played that song. It was the norm, you know.
You go to my Facebook and you'll get an example of what I hear. What you just said, I hear that every day of my life since 1989 when that song blew up out of me. I'm not kidding. It is such a soundtrack of a spiritual connection. Yep. That song. I didn't write that song. Fred wrote that song.
Yeah.
It came out of me because I love that man so much.
Yeah. But not only did Fred inspire that song for you, but it pushed this generation into hunting. I mean, think about this, right?
So many of us.
I don't know that many people that hunted in my high school, you know? Yeah, no. But the people who did knew this song. That's my point. So they kept going and going. And look at today. Bowhunter Planet, this whole thing we've created is because of that song, in my opinion. Because I would have never had this drive.
Thank you for that.
I would have never had the drive if I wasn't driven from the beginning. You know, and that's my point. And these are things that... And my point in the story is we need to keep pushing this heritage of bow hunting. Like, it can't stop with the song. It's got to keep going. So now it's our job to keep pushing this thing and this thing of bow hunting, the heritage of bow hunting. We as our community in Bowhunter Planet, but not just us, the other, and what my goal's been to get unity in this industry that's been difficult to do, but I've been working on it since I started this in 2009 to get unity so that we can work on it together as Hoyt, as Martin, as Matthews, as Bowtech, as it doesn't matter. The point is we have to get kids in the woods.
It doesn't matter. Fred Bear never promoted bear bows. No. He promoted bow hunting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that was the mystical impact he had on so many people. And he figured if he made the best bow and pushed and made that competition alive in the industry, that we would get people to try a bow and hopefully they would end up with a bear bow. But he didn't care. He just wanted people to bow hunt. But let me ask you guys to fight the fight that is the biggest obstacle course for bow hunting recruitment, and that is I would be shocked if I could walk in a bow in an archery shop anywhere in America, maybe 1 or 2% of them would have a bow that I can shoot.
Yep.
They are all 70 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a dollar for every young person or woman who told me, remember, I'm doing my 6,612th concert tomorrow night in Iowa.
Wow.
And I'll have a meeting with a bunch of bow hunters, cops and military and kids and 4-H and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Every day of my fucking life, people say, I'd like to bow hunt, but I can't pull the bow back.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the horror. So you couldn't pull the bow back, and nobody got you one that you could.
Yep.
Nobody said, here, let me get you a lighter bow that you can enjoy. No one ever offered you that. I want to know what archery store you were at, and I'm going to go punch somebody in the fucking throat.
Yeah, I had that conversation on this podcast 2 weeks ago. I'm like, why in the hell, when you walk into an archery shop, is you just feel intimidated. No normal person can go in there because they make you feel like a dumbass. And
Kid Rock came out. He wanted to learn how to bow hunt. He came out with his beautiful girlfriend, and they got these Bowtechs. Bowtech gave him a bow, 80 pounds.
Come on.
And she only had 40 pounds. She couldn't get that broke over. I said, well, of course you can't pull it back. It's not a good bow for you. We went in and got Shemaine's 30-pound bow. She was shooting a 30-pound at the time. 30 at the time. And she pulled it back and went, oh, I love this. Duh. And here's what I did. I took Kid Rock's 80-pound Bowtech and I pulled it back and dry-fired it.
I heard that story. I had no idea it was true.
And I gave him my 50-pound. I think I should. I gave him my 50-pound bow, and he goes, and here's the phenomenon. He goes, wow, that's really easy. Can you kill stuff with this? And I went, no, I eat tofu. No, no, that's Ted Nugent's bow. He doesn't kill much. here's another one. Toby Keith. He wanted to be a bow hunter. So he goes, what kind of bow should I get? And I go, well, it doesn't matter. They're all good out there. But he said, why don't you come pig with me? We'll shoot some hogs. And I said, all right. So I went there, and he had a bow tech, and it was called the General, because everybody knows Toby's a patriot. So they gave him a General, 85 pounds. And he finally got that son of a bitch back, and I went, you're kidding me, right? What animals do you go through those gyrations to get the full draw? Give me that piece of shit. And I threw it out in the fucking parking lot. And I gave him my 50-pound bow, and I go, here's what you need to start with so you can discover archery. Yeah. You need to discover archery before you discover the mechanicals. And he goes, well, that's awful easy. Can you kill shit with this? I'm like, no! Dude, it doesn't kill stuff! I swear to God, every time, because my bows are so easy to draw, because I like a lightweight bow. I'm always twisting and turning in my tree stand, and it's cold, and I like that son of a bitch to come back smooth. And I gotta tell you, I've killed Cape Buffalo with 65 pounds, zebra, kudu all day long with 50 pounds, wildebeest, dozens of wildebeest. Shemaine has killed 4 wildebeest with 35 pounds.
Wow.
Yep. A 2-blade, like an old Bear Razorhead. We use a dead ringer. They actually designed one because I said, I'm not going to use one of these. Shemaine only shoots 35 pounds, and I need an old-fashioned 2-blade. So they made one, and her arrows go in and out of everything.
Wow.
She's never lost an animal. She waits for that shot, and she zaps him in the crease. The arrow goes in and out, and there's the dead deer over there.
Wow.
What is the mystery?
Yeah. What are you shooting now, Ted? Is it like 48, 45 pounds?
I have been shooting 48 for a while, but I cranked her up to 50.
Why not?
I went and bought a T-Rex scrotum, so now I can handle 50 pounds. But again, to me, there's one word to describe archery. Graceful.
Yes.
Yeah.
If it's not graceful, there's no animal that is no animal I've ever hunted. I was raised in Michigan. No Michigan deer is going to let you grunt and groan and lift that bow aiming at the sky before you shoot him.
Yeah.
Right.
Am I right?
No. Yes.
Jeez. So that's the problem with the industry. I talked to Ted McInnes. She came to the concert the other night, and I said, I don't know what you guys are doing, but either you're deaf, dumb, blind, or just stupid.
Yeah.
Because you got to get bows for guys that want to try. How many guys use a crossbow because, well, my shoulder hurts? Because you're shooting 80, 70, 65 pounds. You go down to 40, 45, whatever.
Yeah, true that.
So that's my spiel, and this none of this is opinion. The evidence is overwhelming.
It's all facts.
So that should be your holy war.
Yeah, we don't bring anything in here over 60 pounds anymore, I don't think.
No, no.
Everything's 60 and under.
Part of the show we do, Ted, is called Test Lab.
Read the new Whitetail, the food plot company, Whitetail something.
Institute?
Look at their new magazine. And there's a guy teaching his son to shoot a bow, and he's got a compound, and that kid is drawing back where his anchor point is like 6 inches behind his head.
Oh, my God.
Well, wow. And it's, it, they actually took a photo and published that photo. That's anti-archery.
Yeah,
that's not right. Your anchor has got to be close to the front of your face, like in the corner of your mouth at the most. And everybody, it's not just Ted Nugent talking. I don't care. Yeah. Randy Ulmer Levi Morgan, all these master archers.
Yeah.
They're masters. They'll tell you that if it's a quarter inch too long, it'll ruin your shooting. A quarter inch too short is livable, but what you want is right on the money. And if it's a little too long of a draw, it's not archery anymore. It's not hand-eye coordination. Now it's ear-hand coordination or the back of your head-hand coordination. But hand-eye coordination means your eye and your head has to line up, which means your anchor point has to stop somewhere by your eyeball.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But how many guys don't know this?
A lot.
Too many.
Goodness. So guys quit. I'll tell you this. Texas is the number one hunting state in the nation. I'm going to get off and give you back to the queen because I don't mean to be a domineering prick. but I'm such a domineering prick, I can't help myself.
That's why we love you.
You guys are dedicated. This information I'm giving you, you should charge forward with it. Texas is the number one hunting state in the nation. It rates dead last bow hunting, but there are more bows hanging in garages and barns in Texas than probably all the other states combined, because everybody bought one, and they were all 70, 80 pounders, and they gave up after the first time they tried to draw back and scared the shit out of the deer. It's true. They're idiots.
Yeah. Hey, Ted, before you switch back to Chemaine, what are some charities you're working with that we should know about that we can maybe help in there, or the listeners can
understand? Well, certainly the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids, 28 years, 16,000 graduates. We have them in Iowa, Colorado, South Dakota, Nebraska every summer. Sells out the minute they're announced with the greatest volunteers. It's been a nonprofit 501c3 for 28 years at the direction of Fred. Fred told me to keep doing what I did. So I started the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids, and we not only have created armies of young bow hunters, but now the parents that came to my first camps are now bringing their kids. Yeah. So the most important one, you know, the one you've never heard about in outdoor life, or Field and Stream, or Sports of Field, or Bow Hunter, or Bow Hunting, or you've never heard of Ted Nugent Camp for Kids, because those pricks don't care about recruitment unless you're their buddy.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Ted Nugent Camp for Kids is the most important recruitment for the outdoor sports and conservation. And, of course, we work with so many military charities that you can get on our website. But we work with them all. We continue to raise funds for the Children's Leukemia, Ronald McDonald Cancer, the Operation FinallyHome.org, the military, Canines for Warriors. I mean, we'll go to our website. We're working with so many important ones. But Americans give and give and give. So the more you promote them, the more I'll appreciate it.
Ted, we're all in for helping with anything like that. And I agree with you 100%. Some of the issues I've had in the industry is there's no unity, and I've worked really hard to try to bring that into the archery association or whatever you want to call it, but it's been, it just treads water, and then like you said, no one promotes the things that are important unless you're paying dollars that are, ridiculous. So with the charity events, I'll contact your people. We'll definitely help out where we can because we would love to help.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thanks for having me on. We are blood brothers of the great Fred Bear, Mystical Flight of the Arrow. Godspeed. God bless. Aim small, miss small, and I hope you have a wonderful backstrap-infested fall and winter. And I will give you back to my inspiration, the Queen of the Forest.
Thanks, sir.
All right, guys. Godspeed. Good hunting.
Thanks, thank you.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I want you and everyone in your audience to know that if they book me on a podcast, they don't automatically get
me. That's because we're from Michigan. I know it.
That's only because we're from Michigan. And even though you guys are from Ford and I'm from Eisenhower.
No, that's great.
Same area.
Actually, Tim and I went to Roseville, so we were not in this beautiful area that we are today.
Okay.
We... Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, so, yeah, any charities, Shemaine, we would definitely help out with that. We're interested in helping wherever we can and promoting. Awesome. We think obviously it's extremely important. And like Ted said, you know, getting more people involved is where we need to be. And we were just telling him that, you know, the whole Fred Bear thing is a big deal to us. That song, obviously, you know how important it is. But for us, it helped us build what we even have today. I mean, literally, it's pushed different generations into the hunting industry. And I think that, you know, from there on, it's our job now to carry that torch and keep pushing, you know, and getting kids involved.
Absolutely. Getting kids and women involved. Yeah. When I first started bow hunting, you know, I think Ted and I were the first husband-wife duo to start bow hunting and start filming everything. But it's a lifestyle for us, mm-hmm. and we openly talk about it. Even though in some areas it's not, you know, the latest, greatest thing, but for so many people, I think a growing population of even entertainers, mm-hmm. they're willing to get back to the roots of living off the land and mm-hmm. talking about, you know, everybody talks about grass-fed this and grass-fed that. But we all know, we got the inside scoop on the original grass-fed meat.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, too, Shemaine. I don't know if you've, obviously, over the last couple of weeks, we've been joking around with this thing called forced bathing.
Oh, no.
And it's a Japanese thing.
Forest bathing.
It's a Japanese thing where people, they just take people in the woods to experience the outdoors. Yeah. Like, they just sit there and listen.
You pay a guy.
You pay a guy.
Can you imagine how rich you guys would be if... I'm like, are you kidding?
I already do that.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
It was on NPR.
Dead serious.
It was on NPR, and it was a whole huge story, and it blew up a couple weeks ago.
I can't believe it. I'm blown away.
I can't believe it's a thing.
You should have Ted take a couple liberals out in the woods by themselves.
Yeah, go forest baby.
We've been saying that for years, though.
That's what we do, and you know what? We got the inside scoop, and... You know, I'm happy to be able to promote women in hunting, and especially women in bow hunting. And it's funny because I'll go shopping at whatever, Saks Fifth Avenue, Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom, all that stuff. And if the topic comes up, I always go into, I'm a bow hunter. And they look at me like, really?
Oh, I can imagine.
And here's the comment I get. Are you ready? That's so badass. And so, you know what? I'm going to take that badge of honor, and I'm going to wear it.
Absolutely.
It's really important for me that I think to spread the message and to, you know, if women and if people, anybody, if they go to a restaurant and they pay somebody for a steak, you got to know that steak is dead. You're paying somebody to do the killing for you, and as hunters, we're just more honest about what we do. And I don't know if you guys are the same way. I'm sure you are, as bow hunters. But we never waste food.
Nope.
Because we know how difficult it is to get that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to me to spread that message.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for a few years now, I always say venison's the real organic. Because people are talking about organic and everything. I'm like, dude, just go shoot a deer. Yeah. Like, you should know where it comes from, you know, like the meat. It's not like getting a cow that's been processed and hormones and blah, blah, blah.
No chemicals and steroids. And you know what? Here's another thing, too, guys. Think about this. So, as human beings, we're healthier if we can exercise, right?
Yeah.
So wouldn't we want to ingest protein that has that same opportunity? I feel like you are what you eat, right?
That's a good point.
So if you're eating, you know, sustenance that comes from a cow that has been born and raised basically in the same standing position, how healthy is that going to make you? As opposed to having pure lean venison. The only problem I have with cooking venison, there ain't much fat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so put your own oil in.
and it has the opportunity, I mean, think about it. Deer have the opportunity to run free and roam and exercise, and we're ingesting that.
Yeah.
So isn't that going to make us healthier and happier?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm all about, too.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. Hey, Shemaine, tell us about your book. I know it's like a big, like number one selling or something.
Well, yeah, it became a bestseller the day that it was launched on Amazon.com.
Awesome.
And it's called 4 Minutes a Day, Rock and Roll Your Way to Happy. And the funny thing was that I always wanted to write a book about health and happiness. And honestly, my story, which was getting sick, you know, having health and then losing it and then getting it back and sharing that story with others. And it, you know how life gets in the way? Well, I never wrote it. And, you know, years and years went by and I wanted to write this book called, I thought 50 is the new 30. Well, I turned 50 and I never wrote a word. I turned 51, turned 52, never wrote a word. And honestly, one night I went to bed, I said my prayers, and I just asked God for guidance to write this book and to help others. Because, you know, something horrible like what happened to us, could happen to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, you know, in a way, I hate to say this, it's not a blessing, but maybe there's a silver lining and I could share this story with other people in hopes of helping them. And the next morning I woke up and I swear I had this message of the name of the book, and it wasn't 50 is the new 30. It was 4 minutes a day, rock and roll your way to happy. And I remember like going, oh, this is great, because then I can have a greater audience and I could talk about little things that can change your life in just 4 minutes a day. Like, not just exercise, but also having a healthy, happy mindset, and also giving back to charity. And, you know, I know there's things in all of our lives that bring us to our knees, but if we can try for 4 minutes to think about gratitude and being positive, that can not only change our life, but other lives, other people's lives too. And I remember, like, thinking, wow, I'm having this conversation with God. And I never had that experience before. And then I remember getting this message that I should write the book in 3 days. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. Who can do that? And now I'm thinking, I'm arguing with God, which is not a good thing. And then I realized that day was Good Friday. And I thought, wow, something spectacular happened in 3 days. So you know what? It was the inspiration that I needed to write that book. And I announced to Ted and I announced on social media that I was going to write a book in 3 days. And I did.
Amazing.
And I wrote the book.
Jeez. Wow.
So that's my goal in life is to change people's lives. And I've found some nutrition that has seriously like rocked my world, and Ted's too. Like, I've never felt better in my entire freaking life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm a teenager, and Ted has to keep reminding me. Like, I'll go work out, and I'll get on the treadmill. I'm like, oh man, I'll come home and I'm like, I'm sore. He's like, you're not 25, you know. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. Okay. All right. Yeah. But I just feel like, you know, I feel like Superwoman. I feel like I'm so blessed to be able to have a second chance at life, really.
Yeah. Tell us a little about the Zumba stuff. I know you're an instructor, and you're, like, real serious on that. That's, like, big time.
I became an international Zumba fitness presenter shortly after when I got sick, actually. I spent a year of my life getting better and healing, and I took time off of teaching group fitness, and I found Zumba. And I remember coming back and telling Ted, I'm going to come out of retirement and teach this class. And just a series of events happened, and I was at the right place at the right time, and I became an international Zumba fitness presenter. And I traveled to Australia.
Wow.
And London and Paris and almost every state, and I became an international Zumba fitness presenter, teaching tens of thousands of people from all over the world.
Wow.
How to dance to even rock and roll. So
that's awesome.
So, you know, I feel like, you know, at this point in my life, I just turned 55, and I feel like, you know, I'm going to live life to the fullest every day that I can, and it's a blessing, and I want to share that passion for healthy living with others.
Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, tell us real quick about that. I watched a deer hunt with you just recently, and
you shot the deer, I think it was with the Excalibur crossbow, and you hit it great, and the deer ran, and it like, for some reason, it kept going. The guy's like, oh, it stopped. We thought it was going down, but then it kept going. So the next, you know, clip is like, you guys stand there, it's at night, but there's a dog, and the dog was like a dog sniffing dog or a blood sniffer?
Yeah, we were at the Ox Ranch, and it, you know, sometimes these animals defy logic.
Oh yeah.
I shot a deer straight through the heart a couple of years ago. Straight through the heart. And everybody examined the video footage. It's through the heart. There's no logical reason why this deer has gone 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And we found it went a mile, and we found out once it finally died, the arrow was actually through its chest, through the heart.
Wow.
There's no logical reasoning for why
it's amazing.
Why that happened.
Yeah, sometimes
and
it
so
happens.
Yeah, at the Ox Ranch, what happened on the show that you saw is we actually were blessed to have a dog that.
What was the
out.
Name? Rocco or something? I can't remember the name of the dog.
Dog's name at the Ox Ranch? I don't remember. It was Rocco.
You're like, thanks to the dog. I can't remember
it
the
might
name.
Have been Rocky.
Rocky or something. I thought it was something like that. It was so funny. I was like, oh man, that little dog, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was amazing. But it actually went through a river and up a hill.
Yeah, that's the guy
we're
I was
like,
seeing.
What? Like, how can that happen? But the adrenaline, you know what happens when you get a surge of adrenaline in you.
Yeah, true.
How you feel, you know, can keep you going.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we love the Excalibur crossbow. I mean, it's for women who are just interested in getting involved in hunting and don't know where to start. That's a great opportunity to have a great tool to hunt and experience the spirit of the wild.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Excalibur is a powerhouse. I mean, if you think about it, it's one of those crossbows that can't be broken, really. I mean, they dropped it out of an airplane or a helicopter 100 yeah. like mile up or something crazy, and they picked up and shot it and hit the target dead on. So they're doing something right out of there.
I do feel pretty cocky and confident when I have my Excalibur. I'm like, you know, I'll always go. I love hunting with Ted because he's the master. And I feel so much more confident because obviously he has way more experience than I do. And he'll tell me the, you know, okay, shoot this deer and get this, wait for it to be at the right angle.
Yeah.
But as women, that's what we have to do is we can't just, you know, wait for a deer to cross in front of us broadside. We have to wait for the right angle. I always say women are better shots. But with a crossbow, I feel like it's an equalizer. Because
yeah.
I know I can break that shoulder bone and hit that target.
Yeah. I think I mean, watching the episodes, when you hunt in the episodes, it's really exciting to me because, like, you seem to really have a good time with it. And I think it's very genuine and real. And I think it's a big deal. You know, a lot of times we see video, I think, on TV, it's a lot of fake stage stuff. Yeah. But I don't feel that with your guys' show. I feel like it's done well. Done very well.
You know, what you see is what you get. Yeah. We don't stage anything. And, you know, I actually did, if you go to youtube.com/Shemaine, S-H-E-M-A-N-E, no R, no I, no Y, no G. They just throw in stuff. It must be something else. I have the original Queen of the Forest pilot show that I think it was just too early. It was about 15 years ago, and I took women who hunt and women who don't hunt, and I paired them together because if you're not born and raised into a hunting family, or you're a woman and you don't marry somebody who is a hunter, how do you have that experience?
Yeah.
It's not going to
yeah.
happen. So I took women who don't hunt and I paired them with women who hunt, and they experienced the spirit of the wild for the first time sitting in a tree stand and watching what happens. And I'll give you a little glimpse. What I did was one night, it was a reality show before reality shows got started. And one night, everybody said, I asked all the women, you know, what do you want to have for dinner? We could have lamb, we could have, you know, and rattle off a couple other things. And everybody decided about lamb. I said, okay, Ted, the girls want to have lamb.
No problem, honey.
Get on it.
And so we had a lamb in a cage. And Ted got out a 22 rifle, and the shocking experience of it, obviously, is that we're killing a lamb in a confined environment. But you know what? What happens when you go to a steak restaurant and you order steak? It's the same thing.
There's no difference in that. Anyways, than, you know, my grandma used to kill chickens all the time and animals all the time.
Absolutely.
My grandmother
used to chop off chickens' heads and pluck them.
They'd run around.
No big deal. So, yeah, I wanted to educate people. And you know what? If it's all about, you know, I think geography. Because if we weren't exposed to that at a young age, how are you ever going to find it?
Yeah.
So that's our goal in life, guys. Is we got to expose more women to hunting. What, honey? Oh, he wants me to wrap it up.
Shemaine, tell us any like websites or anything you want to throw in at the end here. People should go to the visit to get more information about you guys, the charities, anything like that.
You know what? Ted writes a weekly blog at deerandeerhunting.com. So go and check that out. And I'm also, we do Facebook Live all the time. Like, we just did one today that you got to go check out. But it's spontaneous, and it's fun and exciting. And my goal in life is to change people's lives. And, you know, but honestly, if you don't have your health, you got nothing. So I feel like what happened to us and how we were exposed to toxic mold is a blessing in disguise, in that I can talk about it and I can share and inspire people to live healthier lives. So I write and I blog and I videotape, and you can catch all of my shenanigans at ShemaineNugent.rocks.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Shemaine, thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it. Thank you for letting us chat with Ted a little bit. That's a blessing for all of us and a very huge inspiration.
Thanks for having me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.